Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Let Christ inspire your day. Radio Pulpit 657 AM, bringing the Word of God to you.
Sentombela with Take Heart, and it takes us down to 11 minutes after 1 o'clock. It is, of course, the second hour of Heart to Heart. My name is Lukho Mgwediputi, standing in for Sibongile Mofokeng all the way up until 3 o'clock. Now, this hour is going to be quite an interesting one. Don't worry, we're still going to have our chat in the third hour, but this one is really an important one. And I'll tell you exactly why it's an important one. This is because this, for quite some time, was a lived experience. And I know Loiso. I've seen Loiso in and out of the studios. He is on Radio Pulpit Jikelele, and today is joining me in studio on Radio Pulpit. And let me start here. Before I tell you what we're talking about, you'll understand. Loiso, good afternoon, Pudi, and welcome.
Hi, Lukho. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Last week, Thursday, at my grad, they were, you know, we were teasing people. So we were sitting on a table, and one of the guys on our table got Student of the Year.
Yes.
And a friend who I know was the entertainer for the day, when I got my award, Most Resilient Student of 2025, yes, she looked at me and said, in other words, we're sitting here joking around and we're thinking we're all supposed to be unserious. There are serious people here.
Yes,
now, if you're
wondering
what I'm raving on about, let's just start here. In fact, Loiso, brief introduction of yourself in case somebody only hears you on Jikelele and they're like, I'm confused now. What's happening, Lizzie? Who is Loiso, basically?
All right. Loiso is Eastern Cape born, Gauteng based, actually an author.
Oh, really?
I'm a preacher, I'm a singer, and I'm also, it looks like Radio Pulpit wants to make me a broadcaster, so I can officially air that also.
Yeah.
But I'm also someone who has been exposed in the corporate space on issues of dialysis as a dialysis technician, where we deal with the machine operation.
Okay.
And I've also done a lot of contact center projects for the government. Yes, so there's a lot of other things I've done.
So you understand a lot of what happens with dialysis and what these machines are supposed to do, actually.
I'm telling you, actually, the machines are like the digital kidneys. They do what the natural kidney cannot do. Yes.
And I think that's what I want to understand. I'll tell you why I'm saying it's close to my heart.
Yes.
2020, COVID hit, right?
Yes.
And for the very first time, 2021, so people got COVID, people passed on, some survived, and 2020, actually, I lost two family members. And it wasn't necessarily or particularly COVID, but my other aunt had a car accident, my other aunt had suffered a stroke, and later on she passed on, so two people. Then 2021 came. And my dad got COVID, my whole family actually in the Eastern Cape in East London.
Oh.
And for the very first time in 2021, I don't know whether my dad knew it but decided to conceal it from all of us, or he was also finding out for the first time.
All right.
He found out that he was living with one kidney.
Oh, okay.
Now, just a bit of a background story to that. In the year, must have been 1999 or 2000, my dad was shot in a hijacking in Ibika, Butterworth. He survived that.
All right.
About 2 years later, they shot my brother, thinking it was my dad. But anyway, during that period, when he briefs me, he says he was told that there were toxins or whatever that affected his kidneys.
Okay.
And now that we're gathering information, that's when they removed the one kidney.
Oh.
And he was now living with one. That's what I'm saying. I don't know whether
he was aware.
Exactly. Or he wasn't.
Maybe he was protecting you.
Exactly.
Okay.
But the rest of the family found out in 2021. And by that stage, he had to urgently undergo dialysis.
Okay.
And in that period, I remember he fought with my mom, fought with my siblings, especially my twin brother, who's in the pharmacy space. Mm-hmm. And our family doctor happens to be my aunt, coincidentally.
All right.
And in that period, he gave me a call once. I had never really understood what dialysis was, by the way.
Okay.
And he gave me a call and he was angry, wanting to discharge himself from hospital because this thing was killing him. This thing being dialysis.
Yes.
And I wanted to understand this dialysis thing because I think up until that point, I was obviously living in the fear that this was the end of my dad's life because Why are we finding out about this? And all of a sudden, you know, he's undergoing dialysis. Mm. And I think I'm having this conversation with you because we have this mentality that once you go to that stage of dialysis, there's no turning back.
Yes, yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I found that, and he wanted to discharge himself. I begged him, I said to him, can you breathe independently? He said, okay. No, not yet. I said to him, okay, let's communicate with your medical aid. Mm. At least they must send you oxygen. And if you feel you can't stand this dialysis thing, I'm okay, I'm fine with you being discharged.
Yes,
but
yes.
Let's do it the proper way. At least if I know you can breathe, I'm okay with that. Long story short, Louis, so he stayed in hospital. Oxygen never arrived. I don't even think medical aid ever responded to that.
Mm.
But he stayed until he was kind of used to dialysis.
Oh.
To a point where even post-discharge, first probably month of his dialysis, my cousin brother would drive him to the dialysis center.
Yes.
And later on in his journey, he was driving himself there.
Oh.
At Tuyo, there's a dialysis center. He would drive himself there, rest and go back. And so I want us to come to this. You... help these machines run.
Yes.
You
yes.
understand dialysis.
Yes.
Maybe if you can just clarify to us. And I'm asking this because if somebody's sitting here right now, they've probably started it or they're contemplating starting it.
Yes.
I know an aunt of mine who's supposed to go through it and she refuses right now. What exactly is dialysis and why is it important?
All right. Well, dialysis is actually a process where a normal kidney, mm-hmm. which is supposed to help to release some toxins and dirt from inside.
Okay.
Cleaning of the blood and all the processes. That one is supposed to be done naturally. It's a God-given ability. But once there is a failure or a deadlock or a blockage in one or both of the kidneys, then that process is not happening. Therefore, it means that the toxins remain inside.
Oh.
And therefore, it means you might likely die.
Okay.
So what the dialysis phase does is to try and artificialize the process that the kidney should have been doing, which is to help you go through the same process that your normal kidney would do.
Okay.
But it's done now being assisted by the machine.
Now, when they explained it to me, so it was almost as if, because I remember my dad was at East London Private and then they moved him to St. Dominic's because
yes.
he said they don't care, the nurses there that are dialyzing him, leave him like that. Little did he know, because I'm now learning, the field is very small.
Yes.
So the guys that were dialyzing him at East London Private were actually going to dialyze him at St. Dominic's. It was the same people.
Okay.
And later, we learned, because when he met these people at St. Dominic's, he was like, what, the same person? And my aunt basically interfered in that, and things were done properly. We later learned he
yes.
was not just being fussy. There was a little negligence here and there in the process, because they would put the machines on and leave. But I learned, like you're saying, that your blood comes out and goes back into your body cleaned.
Yes.
Please explain then, is it your whole, and while your whole blood is out, what happens in your body?
Oh, okay.
Or does it do it in yes. basically chunks?
Yeah, definitely. It does it in small portions. Because
okay.
as we would know, anyone who would lose a full blood, it means there's no life there. Because
yeah.
it says there's life in the blood.
Okay.
So it takes it in small portions, in certain portions of the body. Once it cleans, it puts it back, and then it takes it to one. It's actually programmed to be able to know how much portion to do.
Oh.
You even program me to do it for an hour, for 2 hours, and for 3 hours.
Mm.
But otherwise, there are two kinds of dialysis. It's either an acute one where it's temporary. You find out that the kidney is not fully dead. It's just needing some resuscitation.
Okay.
Or you find out the kidney is totally shut down, where now it's going to be a permanent life.
Mm-hmm.
But even with that one, you are doing it in such a way that you are waiting for a hope of a kidney donor.
Oh.
So it's just a way of sustaining you while you are waiting for a potential donor.
Oh, makes
but
sense.
It's not like you will just do it for as long as you live. The purpose is to reach the donor so that you replace the kidney and then you are okay.
Now tell me, Budloy, so is this primarily for older people, or do you also find it in children? Is it common also in children, though?
Well, I'm happy with your questions because, to be honest with you, kidney dialysis is one of the less talked about thing.
Yes.
Even myself, if I didn't have a loved one who's sick, or if I had not been exposed to the field, I would not have known much.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about AIDS, cancer and other things, but
yes.
kidney is less talked about. In earlier days, most of these sicknesses, they usually attacked the old, the elderly.
Mm.
It's usually popular, but I will tell you that one of the youngest patients we have had in my unit is 10-year-old.
Sure.
who is now sadly no more. He's not alive anymore. She survived for over 3 years.
Okay.
Surviving with kidney failure, and it looks like hers was from inception. Some kidney failures, they can be bloodline-related issues of being hereditary.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always to say it's because you should have had an accident or what, or sickness.
Or taken care of your kidneys in some way or the other.
Yeah, but of course some kidney failure issues are as a result of maybe you had an accident or you fell and you hit and something.
Oh,
something.
Really?
Yes, but sometimes you find out it's, like I say, it's genetic from great-grandparents, it's moving like other genetical diseases. It's like that. Because that child was 10, and from day one when she was born, she has always had it. Of course, with other people, it's a self-made without us being aware.
Yeah.
When
you
do not drink enough water, it's one of the causes of dialysis. But anyway, the purpose at the end is for you to find that donor. It actually is a way of prolonging your life and pushing you. Unlike the HIV disease we spoke about earlier, where you drink ARVs to also help you prolong.
Mm.
But at least with dialysis, there's hope that you eventually get a donor, whether from a family member, people you know, or otherwise go through the system of the long waiting list, which is extremely long, by the way.
You actually beat me to it, because I was going to ask. You know, 2 years ago when I had my kids, we struggled because I didn't have enough milk. And I remember approaching the doctors in desperation after one of them had gone into surgery, after one of my twins went into surgery. And I knew somebody close to me who had quite a lot of milk, and she was no longer really breastfeeding. And I said, can I speak to my sister-in-law to assist me? And it was a bit disappointing, because they said, no, usually, you know, we've got people on the list. It's not really a complicated one. But to go and clean out milk for just one patient, we don't usually do that. But I must say, thank the Lord, because of my both the twins' condition, they did qualify for milk until they were 2 kilograms.
Oh.
Eventually, they were much smaller, so initially they didn't qualify.
Yes.
Because they fell sick, then their pediatrician made an application and they were given milk donor. But that made me panic. It made me panic because what if I generally wanted to mitigate the risk on time and just wanted somebody to help me with milk? It meant I couldn't just individually do it. And they said it's an expensive process for them to just do it for the twins only.
Yes.
Now, let's come back to kidneys.
Yes.
Can I, when I'm at a stage where I can see, look, it's not working, can I run and get a donor?
You know, the issue of a donor, as I said, it's a bit tricky, because the easy way to go about it is if you have a person of closeness, like a relative, a friend, who is a match.
Okay, that's another tricky part.
You have to go and test.
Mm.
Then if they're a match, it gets to be easy. You agree, the exchange is done, they will survive with their single kidney, and you survive with their other kidney, and you are both living a healthy lives.
Okay.
But if that process does not happen, then the other option, I think they say it's expensive, where, I don't know, private donors in some places where I don't know how it's done. Of course, there's also a bogus option.
Of course.
Which is what we cannot encourage.
Mm.
But what I'm trying to say is that the normal way is the one of a waiting list, which would probably be 100 or 200 or 500 or thousands waiting.
I'm assuming that's at a public facility. Is it the same at a private facility as well? Is there quite a long one?
It might be less long at the public and private, but you still have to do some kind of waiting, because there's still a lot of demand of this thing. But without that, with that being said, the issue is compatibility. You still have to be compatible. Because you find out that I'm a willing donor, but now the person, I'm not compatible. So there has to be compatibility. There has to be tests done.
Here's another question I have, but Loiso, unfortunately, you're working with the actual machines.
Yes.
Let's say, for instance, I find out that, look, it's at an advanced stage, and I'm tired of going back and forth to the hospital.
Okay.
Is it a doable thing in South Africa where, if I can afford, I can just buy the machine? Or is it a prohibited thing? Or is it an allowed thing in South Africa? How does it work, really?
Actually, there are small portable machines that are used for home dialysis. So you are actually on point. It's very prevalent. It's just that the most common one is the one where you go to big machines, which are usually housed at different dialysis centers. But otherwise, you can do your home self-dialysis. But it means now you must be disciplined. You must know how to do it. You must be coached so that you not make mistakes. But I think the most effective one is with those big machines, because they do a thorough job, and there you know that you are going with the health prescriptions, and the nurses will do it according to procedure. But that one is also a possibility, yes.
Sure. Okay. I'm going to let you go very soon, but somebody right now listening and wondering, and I'll, recently I saw there's a young lady. I don't know if she's called a social media influencer. She's a teacher. And unfortunately, she says she's at a stage where her system is too weak for her to undergo dialysis as well. I don't even know what that means. Mm-hmm. But she is not on dialysis, but she has kidney failure, unfortunately.
Okay.
And somebody right now is wondering, perhaps, is there still hope? And they're not too sure. Should I undergo dialysis? Like I said, there's an aunt who doesn't want to even.
Okay.
What would you say to that person right now?
Okay. It does happen that when someone is having some kidney mishaps or challenges, at some point they can go back to working on their own.
Oh.
Whether it's an act of God, or they are fortunate, or the body has decided to respond positive.
Oh.
But it happens that you have a temporary challenge and then it gets to be fine on its own.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, as I say, it ends up becoming a permanent thing. But now the problem with someone not wanting to dialyze is that those toxins that we spoke about, they are piling up.
Oh.
And them piling up then puts the person at a serious risk of them finding themselves just collapsing one day and then it ends. So it's necessary for someone to go and be checked by the doctor, and then if there is just a small matter where they can just drink some pills to boost and to revitalize their kidneys, that there are many options. But it all depends upon the severity of the situation. Some kidneys, you find out they're just on a sleeping mode. You just need to be woken
like
up
that.
Quickly fine. Uh-huh. But others, it's a sickness, but it's acute or temporary, but others is permanent. So you just need to be checked and not just stay with your stubbornness to say, I don't want it. That's really being out of ignorance. You still have to be checked so that you not have a piling up.
The sooner you find out, the better, and because, the better you can actually act.
Yeah, for example, it's almost like the case where you have some waste product inside you, which is not released, let's say, for 2 months.
Okay.
You can imagine the damage that happens on your inside. Because the kidney failure patients, some of them end up being challenged to a point that they can't even urinate on their own. Yes, they can't even do the normal process of urinating, of which we can imagine keeping all the liquid toxins for weeks. So it's actually a hazard to keep it and not do anything about it.
I think also sometimes we don't realize just how brutal whatever goes on inside of us can become. Like I was telling you, one of the twins went for surgery.
Yes.
People still think I'm lying when I tell the story, and I'll show them a picture. One of the twins had a colostomy bag when we went home.
Okay.
And I never knew that the waste inside of her coming out of the colostomy, every time it would leak, would burn her.
Oops.
To a point where she was readmitted for, I think it was a second degree burn, because she had burned so much in her tummy from just human waste. And so you can imagine what goes on inside if it doesn't exit, like you're saying.
Yes,
it's quite dangerous.
Yes.
I thought that was my last question. But what is your take also on, there's these natural herbs, which look, I do advocate sometimes for them.
Yeah.
But I find that some people will say, no, I can fix it. You know, natural herbs will clean up my system. The toxins will come out of my body.
Yes.
I'll just use natural herbs.
Well, that one is a bit tricky because during the COVID, like you would have known, we were all doctors, we were all pharmacy specialists, we were all exploring, doing our concoctions.
True.
So part of those concoctions also included things like imihlonyane and other natural herbs. Well, with that being said, though, I believe that there are extreme cases where there are things which would require scientific examination. Yeah, you can't just explore. Yeah. Especially others would even go to traditional doctors. Yeah. Findings. I understand that even the Western medication, some of it has some root and background to traditional.
But at least it's tested.
It's taken through certain processes, purified, and it's not just raw. So, you know, just because you think you can just take and eat, it sometimes can be hazardous.
Mm.
But I guess in that one, it's someone's discussion. But in Mihlonyane, we know that it worked during COVID.
Yeah. But Loyiso, thank you so much for this chat, I must say. My eyes are open. By the way, as a follow-up to the story I just shared with you, 2022, my dad was called in and they said the toxins have lowered in his body. Okay. Everything looks normal. They asked him not to take out the catheter.
Okay.
He said, aye. You'll put it back whichever year you need to if you ever need to again.
So must remove it and then put it back later.
Ah, he fought. And I mean, it's 2025. He still has never gone back to dialysis. Everything is looking good. Yes, he kind of recovered. Which, when I think about it, was probably the temporary dialysis that he had to undergo.
I'm sure one of the scenarios we described has prevailed.
Yeah.
Because if he was still under attack in that area, he would not have a normal life. He would have some recklessness of some sort. The fact that he's okay, it means that it's working again.
All right. You know, me and I'm getting more questions as we go, but let me say goodbye. Otherwise, we'll keep talking. But I'm not doing justice to this conversation. Last one. Really last question.
Maybe for the sake of indulging your viewers, if you still had time, let's go as far as you want us to go.
Just a quick one.
Yes.
The water issue, water subject.
Yes.
You know, you spoke about not drinking enough water.
Yes.
One of the things I learned as well when my dad came back, obviously he had to cut off a lot on his diet.
Yes.
But one of the things they spoke about was the proportion of water, that he needed to take a certain amount of water, not more than, because you know we're always like, drink more water, you'll be okay. And they told him, no, there's also a level where then it's too dangerous for your liver, for your kidneys.
Yeah.
What does that even look like? Why? Because for me it's confusing. I'm like, you said water, now you're saying it's too much water. Really?
Well, it's quite funny because while you're still on your normal state, you are encouraged to drink as much water as you need.
Exactly.
But once you are now in that challenge of a kidney failure, you have to regulate, because it means now your body now no longer is able to manage too much excessive water, because you don't have the normal kidneys which are going to do the normal functioning.
Okay.
In your next session of appointment of dialysis, you will find yourself being over flooded because you drank too much.
Oh.
And if you were someone on a normal kidney, no matter how much you drink, it will still do the normal process.
Oh.
But now you drink, you don't release anyway. You're waiting for 3 days or 2 days
for that water to be dialyzed out.
And you find yourself being swollen all over because the water doesn't have a space to detoxify.
Yeah, no, I learned a lot. Another one that for me was a shocker. I love Mvubu.
Okay.
If you don't know Mvubu, it's Kremel Pap and Mas. I love it.
Yeah.
He was encouraged not to eat it. And it's only later now that I understand it, where they said, it's not necessarily because it's wrong, but it has no nutrients. And at this point in time, we need you to have all the nutrients in your body.
It has no nutrients, and also it is too watery. It is too liquid.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's part of the reason why.
Yes.
Oh, makes sense. So you need to look out for that liquid.
Everything changes, you know, when you get to experience this thing, your diet must change. You don't eat what you want to eat, you eat what you need to eat.
What you're supposed to eat.
Yeah, definitely.
Loyiso, thank you so much, Budama. I really appreciate this chat. God bless and continue to fight with us. When I say fight with us, I mean anybody that needs that help right now.
Yes.
You being in the line of that rescue truly, truly is appreciated. Thanks and God bless.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me, and goodbye to you and your viewers.
Let Christ inspire your day. Radio Pulpit 657 AM, bringing the Word of God to you.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Prayer, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now.
Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.